is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
See you live off the record with Zhivago Lang is brought to you by Bahamas First General Insurance Company, Bahamar, City of Hope, Prince Masters, RF Bank and Trust, Southwest Plaza, and Star General. Insurance made simple.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Zhivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I trust that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers are the same, 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316. 325-4316. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 43043. That's 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969, or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. Do you have some money in the bank? I know, maybe not a lot, but it's your money. $100, $500, $2,000, $10,000, $25,000, $50,000, $100,000, a million. You have the money in the bank? Is your money safe? Whichever bank, doesn't matter. Is it safe? If it's safe, how safe is it? Well, we're going to find out today because I have some guests at the top of the hour to address just that matter. They are from the Central Bank of the Bahamas' Deposit Insurance Corporation. And I have with me Cindy Thompson, Operations Manager, and Charles Greenslade, who's a senior analyst, to talk about the corporation and what it does to keep your money safe. Welcome, lady. Welcome, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So good to have you guys with us today. First of all, what is the Deposit Corporation of the Bahamas? What is that?
So Deposit Insurance Corporation is a
Insurance corporation.
It's a public corporation that is there to help protect small BM dollar depositors and foster confidence in the financial system.
Okay. So just like any insurance is a risk management program, we have an insurance that says, if your house burned down, if your get caught, destroyed in the hurricane, having an insurance provides you with some opportunity to get to restore your situation, even if not fully, partially. We have insurances for that. This is an insurance for money, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Deposit it in the bank accounts. So how does that work? How does that insurance work exactly?
So we currently have 18 member institutions, and depositors within those member institutions are protected up to $50,000 if one of those members were to fail.
Okay. So I have my $2,000 in the bank. One of those banks that's a member of the corporation, they, for whatever reason, go bankrupt and have to close down. I don't have $50,000. I have $2,000. I'm good.
Yeah, you very straight.
And it's okay. Not just banks, it's also credit unions.
So credit unions are very important, yes. So the banks and the credit unions, so I could have my money in a credit union deposit, I could have my money in a bank, up to $50,000. This includes $50,000 too, right?
Repeat the question, sorry.
So I just want to make sure. So if I have $50,000 in the bank, that bank or credit union fails, that $50,000 is insured, right?
Yes.
Or is it $49,999?
No, so it's $50,000 for eligible Bahamian dollar deposits. And
okay.
To provide more information on that, you have, just like you said, you have your regular $2,000. You also have different types of accounts that are covered up to $50,000. So for you, an individual, you're covered up to $50,000. If you have an account with your wife, that's a joint account, that is covered up to $50,000. If you have your son or daughter in a trust, that is also covered up to $50,000. So there's different account types as well at each member institution that is fully covered up to $50,000.
Okay, so let me ask, you know, I'm going to ask questions that I'm not going to see when people know the answer to. So what if I have a deposit, a savings account, then I have a checking account, both have $50,000 on it in the same institution?
So if it's in, within the same institution, it will go by ownership category. So if it's one individual checking account, all will be under the individual owner category. So they would be capped at $50,000.
Right. So it's not, I don't get, if that bank fails, I don't get $100,000. I get $50,000, period. And so I might take a loss of $50,000.
You're not necessarily going to take a loss. You would receive your remaining balance during the liquidation process.
The process. Right. If the process produces the kind of cash that could pay me back.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. So that's important for people to realize. So you're not just covered by the insurance. There's also the possibility of liquidation restoring you fully, right?
Yes, that's for those persons, those big timers who have more than $50,000.
Yeah, exactly. What if I have $1,000 in one bank, $3,000 in another bank, and both fail?
As long as they're in my institution, you're covered.
Mm-hmm. Okay, super. All right, and so, and the reason for this, again, to explain to people why this helps to ensure and anchor the stability of the financial system.
So we just want everybody to feel safe within our financial system in the Bahamas and feel secure that they, once their money is within a member of the DIC, no matter what happens, they'll have access to their monies.
So presumably every financial, every bank, and every credit union is not a member of the DIC?
Correct. There are only 18. All credit unions are members. That became compulsory in September 2020.
Okay.
However, not all banking institutions are. You have to deal wholly or partly in Bahamian dollar deposits for you to be a member of the DIC.
Yeah, because the goal is to try to protect as much of the Bahamian dollar depositors as we possibly can.
And given what we know about the average amount of deposits held by Bahamians and Bahamian dollar accounts, the DIC covers a fairly large percentage of the Bahamian population, no, who have bank accounts.
Correct. So we cover about 96%. Of depositors with Bahamian dollar accounts.
Okay, that makes perfect sense in light of all the statistics that we have. Anything else? Well, let me back up. One of the things that people should also be aware of is that the central bank itself has requirements for banks that also shore up their own integrity, right? Financial integrity, whether that's the reserves that they have to hold or the various audits or inspections, etc., that reports they have to submit, right?
Correct.
And so this is just another layer of protection on top of the regulatory regime that the bank has.
Correct. So to add more color to the situation, on top of what the central bank does, As you said, with capital reserves, capital requirements, we also have frequent reviews, regulatory reviews from our supervision department. The purpose of the DIC came about after a failure of Gulf Union almost 26 years ago, Gulf Union Bank Limited. And so,
I remember that.
And so this, the purpose of the DIC came about to ensure that the depositors of that institution would be able to receive their funds in an orderly fashion. And the wind down process of Gulf Union is still going on today. And we've not had another failure since then. And so from then to now, our purpose has been to collect the premiums from the member institutions to build up what we call the deposit insurance fund, so that if this event was to ever occur again in the future, we would have access, quick access to the depositors' funds to reimburse them during the deposit process or the payout process as soon as possible. So the... go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. No, ma'am. Go finish you.
I was just going to say, so that persons are confident in the financial system that if something was to happen, they would get their funds back in a timely fashion.
Okay, wonderful. I just thought it was so important that you noted that the Gulf Union wind-up is still taking place. And so that's one of the great reasons for the DIC is that you get quicker access or early access to your money and not have to wait till the liquidation process, which could be drawn out.
Correct.
Yeah. Now, this has been now 26 years for the Deposit Insurance Corporation. 26 years. And you're celebrating your 26th anniversary, no?
Yes, we are. We are celebrating our 26th anniversary on the 30th of September, but we have an event coming up on Saturday.
Okay.
So we have an event coming up.
Yeah, that event is?
This Saturday. It's called Trust, the DIC Experience. It'll be held at the Bahamas National Trust. There we invite all the members of the public to learn more about the DIC and some prizes. We have prizes such as laptops, $100 gifts, savings bonds. And you could just come out, learn as much as you want, and ask any question. Any question that will help you to feel more confident within the financial system.
My laptop have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 missing keys right now. She a little slow and bust up. I need to come win a laptop.
Yeah, sound like we need to see you first out there.
And so this occasion will last from when to when on Saturday?
From 11 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Okay, and anybody is free to drop by and attend the event?
13 and older.
13 and older, yeah. If you're 13 and older, you can stop by. Well, that's good. 13 and older, that means these young people who may be starting a bank account or who might have something in joint with their adult guardian or parent or somebody, et cetera. All of them might be interested to find out what the Deposit Insurance Corporation does for their monies.
In addition to us being there at the event, we're also going to have a number of the financial institutions that are members, which include both the banks and the credit unions. So you're free to come down and get more information, do your rate shopping in the event you're looking for a new product or service. We're also going to have members from the central bank there. There's going to be a booth specifically related to Sand Dollar. So for all of those persons that have not onboarded on Sand Dollar, said you have an opportunity to do so, as well as some members from the banking department that can speak to Bahamas registered stock and investing, and you want to get more information on how you can earn money on your money, this would be the perfect opportunity for you to come down on Saturday.
This is a financial expo.
Basically.
This is a financial expo. Oh, my. I mean, you got that's wonderful. Wonderful opportunity. You got the central bank there. You have credit unions there. You have your member corporations there. And they are all talking about what they do and their products, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's a great opportunity. All of them in one place. We have a caller on the line, actually. Can we take that call? Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, gracious, you're Mr. Langley. Yes, how are you doing?
Yes, sir.
I only have one question, right? Gold, the gold has risen the highest in past times, right, in years, right, because of the U.S. Cuts, right? Question, how wise is it right now to invest into gold? You think you can answer that?
That's not a question. That's not a question for this particular show. But, you know, there's some financial brokers in the country, like CFAL and RF and them, that they are in great position to speak to you about something like that. All right? All right. We have a text. Yes, there's G'day Lang. I understand that. Oh, boy. I don't know. Y'all must be listening to a different show. That's a different question. Okay, so once again, the event is going to be held where?
At the Bahamas National Trust.
Okay. This text says, using your same scenario, you just use put in two separate institutions in each. So somebody wants to know, if they have $50,000 in two separate institutions, how is that covered?
So as long as they're a member of the DIC, if they were to fail simultaneously, you'll be separately covered under both institutions.
All right. So their $100,000 would be covered.
Correct.
As long as they both institutions are members of the Deposit Insurance Corporation.
Correct.
Okay. It says, Mr. Lang, what about my small personal business account? Is that covered by the insurance?
So the Deposit Insurance Corporation also covers company accounts under the same way we would cover individual accounts. So if they have a company account, it would be insured as well up to $50,000.
Okay. This text says, good afternoon, Chicago. Great and timely show. Is the deposit insurance $50,000 is the same with investment institutions like CFAL, Leno, Royal Fidelity?
No. So those institutions that you listed aren't members of the DIC. The DIC's goal is to protect small behemoth dollar depositors and not those investors.
Right.
So to add to that, just to give a little bit more color, where the Deposit Insurance Corporation is solely covering the deposits, that it's a different entity if you think about it. The funds that you would put into CFAL, they're not necessarily going to be used to earn them money. It's the purpose of that is to earn yourself money. So the deposits that are used within the financial system in the DIC membership, the ability to lend your money to earn them money. And that's not the same case with investments. So that is why we don't cover those types of accounts.
Right. Because those investment houses, they earn money by charging you a fee to help
correct.
You earn money.
Whereas the financial institutions, right. Yeah. Whereas the financial institutions can lend your deposits in the form of loans to earn them money.
Yeah, I think we need to say this once again because I'm getting this question again. I mean, you've said it before, but just so people are clear, this says, for instance, are non-bank financial institutions covered by DIC, such as investment houses? The fact is, the only accounts that are covered are accounts that are deposited with your members, 18 members.
Correct.
And so is there somewhere people can go and see who the list of members are for the DIC?
So we have our current list of members posted on the DIC website. So we can you can visit the DIC website at dic.bs. And we have the full list of our 18 members within our website.
And again, Tori, that every bank or financial institution be a member. But the fact of the matter is, given your 18 members, you're covering about 96% of Bahamian households with accounts in the system.
Correct.
So, Bahamian dollar accounts.
Correct. So the Protection of Depositors Act at the time in 1999 made all banks that were wholly or partly dealing in Bahamian dollars, compulsory to be added into the DIC. And then in 2020, credit unions became members. That same act was amended to include the credit unions, and that's how we're currently up to 18. So we have 12 banking institutions and 6 credit unions that are currently members of the Deposit Insurance Corporation.
Okay. Now, you know, husbands and wives can get in this now because, you see how our money goes. So this says, if a husband and a wife have a joint account and individual accounts, $50,000 each. So they have individual accounts of $50,000, and then they have a joint account of $50,000. Is the full $150,000 covered?
No. So how that would work is you would have the wife, let's say Sarah. Sarah gets her $50,000 under the individual category. The husband, Sam, he gets his $50,000 under the individual category. And then with a joint account, it's maximum $50,000. Saying specific in their joint account agreement that says 25%, 75%, the DIC is going to assume 50-50. And Sam is going to get $25,000 and Sarah is going to get $25,000. So at the end of the day, if that institution was to fail and they had a joint account together and 2 individual accounts that all had $50,000 each, Sarah would walk away with $75,000 and Sam would walk away with $75,000.
Okay, well, I mean, they ain't got a fight. Now, if they could just get together with the 25-25, they could have it together again.
Right. And so the 20, and back to what we were saying earlier, the remaining funds is going to be returned to you via the liquidation process. And so it's not that the money disappears, because we get that a lot. So persons just assume they automatically lose out. No, the purpose of the deposit insurance is to give you access to your funds as soon as possible when that institution fails. So we try to give you the majority, which, as we've said, 96% of what we currently cover is about 96% of the financial system. And so that remaining 4% is going to be recouped during the liquidation process.
And interestingly enough, does the fund itself get reimbursed on liquidation, having given out these monies, or the banks are now clear of that set of funds?
So
haven't paid the insurance premium, the institutions I mentioned.
So repeat the question, make sure I understand you.
So I'm saying the insurance, the deposit, the insurance corporation is paying people on failure of the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Is the banks now, having participated in the corporation and maybe having paid their premiums, now absolved from any further payments, a particular set of money that was paid by the corporation?
No, I think I understand your question, but let me say what actually happened. So member institutions pay us annually their premiums so that the depositor doesn't have to pay anything. So that premium comes into the DIC from the member institutions. If a event occurs where that institution fails, we have what we call the deposit insurance fund that has been accumulating all of those premiums over the years and interest income, so that we can reimburse the depositors as soon as possible. And that doesn't negate what's going to happen in the liquidation process with that institution. The members, the other, let's say 17 members, that if one fails, there's still 17. If the other 17 members are still required to continue to pay their annual premiums, because the fund has to remain viable for if anything else happens in the financial system. So that doesn't absolve the current members from still making their contributions.
What I was getting at was, in the liquidation process, is any of the liquidated funds used to replenish what the DIC has had to pay out?
To my knowledge, yes.
During the liquidation process, the DIC would now assume the position of the regular depositors. So during that liquidation process, when it would be time to reimburse the depositors of those institutions, the DSE would step in and get some recovery.
I see. That's what I was wondering. Okay. Anything else we need to know on the Saturday coming at the Bahamas National Trust? There is, you call it what you want. That's a financial expo to me.
it's also supposed to be a family-friendly fun day. You know, sometimes persons feel they're nervous about asking these types of questions. They want to get information and, you know, with certain institutions, you have to make an appointment. And this is your opportunity to get that one-on-one conversation that you've been trying to get. This is also a way to ensure that you know more, because there are a lot of persons that we have a section that's going to have a difference between fact and fiction about what the DIC actually does and what is covered. So all of the examples that we would have provided today would also be there at the event. So you can see firsthand how, if a claim or if an institution had an issue, how you would get your funds back or how much of your funds would be returned to you. And then just one, if persons are concerned about parking, there's parking available at Queens College, which is right opposite Bahamas National Trust. And then in terms of at the fair, there's also going to be food and drinks for sale. We have a number of food vendors that include Val Monkey Foot and Burger Press and Jimmy's Wines and Spirits.
Okay. What I like about what you did is it starts at 11 o'clock, so you get a little chance to sleep in and then on Saturday and then come to the event. So you don't have to get up 6 o'clock and 7 o'clock because the event starts at 11 o'clock.
Now, I would also mention come early if you can, because there are a number of giveaways and you don't want to miss out when you come late and then you don't have anything and you, how come that person have that and how come this person have that? So the sooner you come, the more you'll be able to obtain.
Okay, so you're trying to tell me to wake up for 8 o'clock so I can get that laptop. That's what you're saying. Okay. All right, but we want to thank you so very much for joining us today and sharing this wonderful information with us, and we wish you every success.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. We'll be back after this break. You know that you're not alone. All of it, you feel like you make it down the same road.
Boost your buying power with a margin loan at rates as low as 7.5%. A margin loan offers capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity, or refinance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash within 48 hours for any purpose. Tailored, effortless, powerful. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
In the face of a storm, it's not just buildings that get tested. It's all of us. Insurance isn't just about repair. It's about recovery. So when the winds die down, you're already on the path forward. Having insurance can mean the difference between starting over and starting stronger. So talk to an authorized agent or broker of Bahamas First General Insurance about how the right coverage can support you through this season and whatever comes next. With Bahamas First, you're in safe hands. In all seasons.
This October, Bahama invites you to indulge your senses at the Culinary and Arts Festival, where world-class flavors meet breathtaking creativity in the heart of the Bahamas. Join us October 22nd through 26th for an unforgettable celebration featuring culinary legends Marcus Samuelson, Dario Zucchini, Simeon Hall Jr., and Scott Conant, alongside a vibrant lineup of chefs and mixologists. Explore captivating art installations, interactive workshops, and live performances, all set against the stunning backdrop of Nassau's premier luxury resort. From curated tasting events to beachfront feasts and immersive gallery experiences, this is more than a festival. It's a feast for the soul. Tickets and packages are going fast. Visit Bahamar.com to reserve your spot at the Culinary and Arts Festival at Bahamar, where taste and talent take center stage. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call again, you can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720, or you can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. The Bahamas National Statistical Institute, the successor to the Department of Statistics, released labor statistics for the first quarter of 2025. First quarter would be covering January, February, and March. The statistics itself relate to January. So they, I think they did the survey in January. The country's labor statistics. And according to the Bahamas National Statistical Institute, at the time the labor force survey was taken, that's in January of this year, so this is 9 months ago, the unemployment rate of the Bahamas stood at 10.8%, nearly 11%. The female unemployment rate was higher than the national rate at 11.2%, and the male unemployment rate was at 10.4%. Now, they released a number, but start with the unemployment rate, because that's typically one of those metrics that are used to measure the health of the economy, and one which politicians, political leadership in the country, analysts, and others look at to get a sense of how the economy is faring and how it is impacting the citizenry of the country. Well, of the 214,000 unemployed, I mean, total labor force in the country, the BNSI says that 10.8% of those people are unemployed, meaning that at the time that they were asked, are you employed? They said no. And are you actively searching for a job and been so for the last 3 months? They said, and so on that basis, they would be unemployed persons. And that rate stood at some 10.8%. Now, how does this relate to previous unemployment rates? Well, according to the BNSI, in the last quarter of last year, that would be October, November, and December, the unemployment rate would have stood at about little over 9%. And then in the third quarter, it would have stood at about a little over 7%. And then in the second quarter, it would have been about 8.4%. Okay. And so what we have seen essentially is a unemployment rate. In the third quarter, the unemployment rate was 7.2%. That was the third quarter, right? In the fourth quarter, it was 9%. And now in this current, in the first quarter, it rose to 10.8%, which means that for three consecutive quarters, the unemployment rate was trending upward, right? 7, 9, 10.8. I imagine that this cannot be for the government. You will recall that Prime Minister Davis and the Minister of Finance indicated when the unemployment rate was at 8.7% in the second quarter of last year, he said, I quote, he said, the latest unemployment rate stands at 8.7%, which is down appreciably from 9.5%. He said in 2019, right? He said, this unemployment rate is the lowest since 2008. And is a significant recovery from the peak of 25.6% experienced in 2020. That's the pandemic year. He said the government expects, this is the Prime Minister, the government expects sustained improvement in tourism. Remember, we're still hitting record numbers of tourists. And FDI, Prime Minister said, in the billions, to further stabilize the unemployment rate in the medium term. Medium term is the next 3 years. That's what medium term is. When you're talking about the immediate term, you're talking within the next 12 months. Medium term, 3 years. Long term, beyond 3 years. Okay? So this was Prime Minister in his budget communication this year, in May this year. And this is what he further said. He said, our strategy has borne fruit in the form of economic recovery, reduced unemployment, improved finances, and improved investor confidence. He said unemployment levels are at lows we have not seen in decades. Or put another way, the number of people in work is at the highest level it's been in decades. Contrast that to what now the BNSI says is the case in January, 10.8%. How does a significant rise in unemployment going from 9% to 10.8%, which is almost 2 percentage points higher? Remember when it was reduced from 9.5 to 8.7%, Prime Minister called that a significant reduction. Well, a rise from 9% to 10.8% is significantly more than that reduction was. So we have a significant increase in the unemployment rate. Does this now suggest that the Prime Minister's strategy is not working? That tourism numbers improving does not have and is not having the real effect we would like it to have on the lives and employment opportunities of people? That the FDI isn't materializing in job opportunities in the way we would like it to have? Because he said when the reduction happened, it was a confirmation that the strategy was working. Well, it's now 10.8%. How does that now measure? What would the Prime Minister, Minister of Finance, say in response to these new numbers in light of what he said previously? On top of that, the BNSI indicates that underemployment in the country, of the number of employed persons in the country, the number of persons stood at some 67,000 or 30% of the total number of employed persons. 30% of the total number of employed persons, 23% they say, 23% are underemployed, 23%, okay? Meaning that these are people who are not working full-time, full-time being 40 hours a week, that's a full-time job, and that they say they are looking for more hours, and don't have it. Okay, so you have not only high unemployment, you have high underemployment, which means the level of employment you have, qualitatively speaking, is not as strong as you would like it to be. What does this say for the economic realities of the country? What does it say for the quality of the economic dynamics of the country? It's not good news. But again, I don't do what too many politicians do. I don't do that. As an analyst, I don't do that. As an economist, I don't do that. I don't day trade. What is day trading? Day trading is you see one spot, you have one data point, and you start making assumptions about what the data point means for you. The unemployment rate went down one quarter. The Prime Minister, as an example, reads that and says, my strategy is working. Well, as a trained economist, I wouldn't do that. Here's why. Because it's one snapshot. One snapshot. And it tells a story, but it doesn't tell the whole story. So just as I wouldn't do what was done when the unemployment rate went down, I won't do what it when it goes up. I won't say, oh, this is terrible. This is awful in terms of this means the strategy isn't working or this means that the country is terrible and going to the hell. No, I'm watching. I'm watching for how this speaks to a trend. Now, I have three data points that tells me we're not in good shape in the last 12 months. Why? Because the unemployment rate went from 7% to 9% to 10.8%. That is not a good trending. But I'll look for some more data to see how, say, over a 12-month period or so, what that evolves to. So this is what is of having these kind of knee-jerk reactions to data when they come out. You celebrate and dance around the fire, and then the fire goes out a minute later, and then you do what? Okay? Similarly, the opposition, Kwesi Thompson, questioning the numbers when that unemployment rate went down. I remember that. You know, having some things to say, and I warned. I said, be careful. This is the same group that measures all the numbers all the time, even when you're in office. Be careful. So now that the unemployment rate has gone up, does the opposition now come out and say, oh, see? Yeah, but these are the same people measuring the numbers. How do you trust these numbers and don't trust the last numbers? See how that works? And that's why I could never be called upon to question what the BNSI does unless there is substantial reason to do so. This is what they do. I do have some observations about how they write up these press releases for these releases. As a deputy director on the board and as a member of the board of the BNSI, we have nothing to do with these releases. These are technical experts. They do releases. We hear the numbers and see the numbers when you see them, right? But in terms of questioning the numbers, you ain't gonna ever get Zhivago, the economist, Zhivago, the former Minister of State for Finance, to question these people. You ain't gonna get me to do that. There would have to be some technical something brought to my observation by technical people that says, no, something's amiss here for me to start asking the question, what is going on, right? So what's going to happen now? What's going to be the opposition's response to these numbers in light of their seeming questioning of the last numbers? And what's going to be the government's response to these numbers given their celebration of the last numbers? All interesting observations to be made going forward. The last 3 months of unemployment statistics does not provide encouraging data for the performance of this economy. Does not. Okay? So if there is going to be more confidence in the performance, then we're going to have to see what evolves over the second quarter of this year, the third quarter of this year, the last quarter of this year, and see whether they counter what has been observed. Anybody who is interacting with this economy in a real way, both workers and employers, would know there is a softness. There is a softness in the labor market. Now, what exactly is accounting for that? That's a discussion we can have as we move forward in the show. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Zhivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break for news. And when we come back, we'll continue our conversation. We'll be back after the news break.
Nothing beats a Chicchani challenge. On September 27th, we're bringing the action, a 5K course packed with 20 thrilling obstacles. Start and finish at Fusion Superplex with energy, fun, and excitement all around. First time? No problem. Try the Chicchani Light version, built just for beginners. Got kids? Ages 3 to 7 can take on their very own Chicchani Kids Challenge. And this year, we're turning 10. So grab your team, mark your calendar with us. Visit chicchanichallenge.com to sign up today. Thanks to our sponsors, Fusion Superplex, Guardian Radio 96.9, Kalina, RBC, Advantage Insurance, Party Pilots Rentals and Events, Fincastle Media Group, Powerade, Calic, and Art of Graphics.
Don't wait for a storm to arrive. Stock up on hurricane supplies, make home repairs, purchase a generator, and more this hurricane season with a Fidelity personal loan. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
You feel like you've been-
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call today, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. If you get a copy of the BNSI's labor force report, you will be able to see how these employment numbers break down by gender, by sector, by level of training, by island, and the like. In the first quarter of 2025, the all Bahamas unemployment rate was 10.8%. You know, I want you all to listen to this, because this is interesting in light of how we tend to. So if you're in Grand Bahama, you lust economic activity in Nassau, in New Providence. You lust after it. You say, oh, everything happened in New Providence, because you go there and you see a lot of activities taking place. Well, like, well, of course you see a lot of activities taking place, because it is the economic center of the country. It's got the largest population. It's got the largest population of tourists. So you're going to see lots of stuff. But here's what is interesting. The all Bahamas unemployment rate is 10.8%, right? So they take the average of all the rates of the different islands and give you what the, or well, when they take the count of all the different islands and then get that together. But what is the unemployment rate in New Providence? 11%. Not 10, not 9, not 8, not 7. All that economic activity, and it's 11%. What's the unemployment rate in Grand Bahama? 12.8%. Higher, but on a significantly higher, but not compared to what you would think is happening in New Providence. Right? There are more unemployed people in New Providence, 19,970, than in Grand Bahama, 3,500. And the percentage of persons in Grand Bahama who are eligible to work and are not working is 12.8%. And that in New Providence is 11%. Now, Abaco, there they always, they say all kinds of activities happening in Abaco, is carrying on, but the unemployment rate in Abaco is 13.8%. See? So it's just like watching people's home and, yeah, but it must be carrying on. It must be doing real well. You ain't know how nobody doing until somebody measures it. You really don't know. You're just guessing at it, because you, what you see can, in fact, be misleading. Right? In the second quarter, the third quarter of 2024, that same 10.8% unemployment rate across the Bahamas is 7.2%. That's a 3.6 percentage point difference. Right? New Providence, it was 7.3%. In Grand Bahama, it was 8.8%. In Abaco, it was 4.4%. Abaco has gone from an unemployment rate in the third quarter of 2024 to 13.8% unemployment in the first quarter of 2025. And every island category measured has gone up. So this isn't a Nassau incident or issue. It isn't a Grand Bahama issue. It's an across the country issue. Why? Why across the country? So you can't say, oh, that was isolated to Grand Bahama. It's every island measured has had a decline in the unemployment rate, according to, an increase in the unemployment rate, according to the BNSI, so particularly the significantly populated islands of the country, the significantly populated ones. So something happened between those quarters to produce this level of unemployment. Given the rapidity with which this decline in employment circumstances occurred, by my initial guess would be that this is a seasonal issue. This has to be related to those seasonal sectors like construction. So maybe some projects and stuff like that waned. Maybe across the country, you know. tourism, maybe. Maybe there was decline. When this decline started, it started in the third quarter, being July, August, September. What has happened in the world, in the country, since July, August, and September that could have impacted the employment standings of the people of the country across the major islands of the Bahamas? What could have happened? The only things that I know that cover us broadly like that and can be so rapid in driving employment statistics up and down are things like construction and tourism. Those are the only things that I could think about, right? Of course, those things can have an impact on other sectors as well, so they can induce impact. But those are the things. So what in tourism and construction could have been happening? You know, wholesale and retail trade could too have been happening. So I haven't had an opportunity to delve deeply into the report of the BNSI because they do have some information in terms of industrial groupings and which would require some comparison of one quarter to another. So in what quarters? I do think that they mentioned some information in the wholesale, the trading area, I think. I recall seeing something about that. But it warrants some analysis for sure. Does warrant some analysis. They said the largest occupation group was service workers and shop market sales workers. So that's the largest number of employed persons, who account for about 26.9% of the total employed population. So they mentioned that the group has the largest number of females, blah, blah, blah. But what they didn't speak to, which requires analysis now by others, is what movements took place within those groups. And that's where you can get some additional on what may have been driving these numbers to move in the direction they move in. what will often happen now is we're going to have a political debate about it. So some texter is going to text me and say, there you go again, picking on the negative. I didn't publish the statistics. I didn't. I understand them, and so I can speak to them. And so then we might have some words by the opposition, some words by the government. But what we need is an analysis that can understand, try to understand what is happening. And so you can then get a sense of whether this is a permanent fixture. Right now, we are seeing this trend over three quarters, or whether this is something temporary. If it is something that was induced by policy, whether that's corrective. Well, or if it's something that was induced by international movements, which is beyond our control, then you understand that better too, and so forth. So that's what has to happen. And that could only be done with time, going over the statistics themselves. And I will try to do that. I'll try to do that at some point, but would not have had the opportunity to do it since this was just released today. If you want to give us a call, if you have any questions, please feel free to call on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-431. Text us on 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I would say that the biggest takeaways from this release are as follows. These are the biggest takeaways. One, the unemployment situation in the Bahamas is trending in the wrong direction. That's a fact, okay? Because after three quarters, unemployment is rising in the country, and that seems to contradict what would be expected from a boosted high level of tourism, high level of foreign direct investment, high level of projects going on, high level of government spending happening in the country. That's the first thing. The second takeaway is do not day trade in economic statistics. Meaning, if you get a stat, if it's good or bad, look at it, examine it, note what it says, and then try to look at it in light of trends, not in the light of some prognostication about what it means for what you're doing or what you're not doing at any given point in time, because each of these statistics are snapshots and they are part of a larger story. And unless you get a fuller measure of the story, it's hard to draw reasonable and sensible conclusions about what they in fact mean for what is happening, for what you are not doing. Those are the two main takeaways that we should all be guided by when we are doing analysis. Say what you want, government or opposition. Do what you want, government or opposition. But there are truths and there are reasonings that they don't take account of what you say. If what you say does not accord with good reasoning and truth, that's the reality. Okay, but I understand how politics go, and so you have an opportunity to boast, you boast. You have an opportunity to condemn, you condemn. Those in the middle got to look at the facts in their totality. That's the nature of the beast, okay? And again, I want to remind you that this is only in relation to the first quarter of this year. And it was a January snapshot of the quarter. And the BNSI will, when it releases other quarterly statistics, will be a snapshot of those quarters. And so the biggest stories will certainly be in the trends that we get to see going forward. Right? Producer Let's take a break right now, and we'll come back after this break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Chirag Lang, your host.
Take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Southwest Plaza has so many stores, I've been trying to find a sensible way to list them all. There's CBS Bahamas, the Ashai Institute, BENC Snack World, Bamboo Shack Bahamas, there, the Athlete's Foot, and BTC Games and More, John Bullfine, Threads Alive, Bahari, Dairy Queen, 700 Wines and Spirits, Sandy's, Clark's and Island Luck, Starbucks and Lowe's Pharmacy, plus Marco's Pizza and Lorraine. Southwest Plaza, what a wide array of stores. Southwest Plaza, stop by today and explore.
As a healthcare professional, you dedicate your life to caring for others. But even with the best health, protect your practice and your peace of mind with medical malpractice insurance from Star General. At Star General, we've partnered with Lloyd's of London to bring you comprehensive professional liability insurance designed specifically for those consulting or practicing privately. Visit our website today so you can focus on what you do best, caring for your patients, while we take care of the rest. Star General, insurance made simple.
This October, Bahama invites you to indulge your senses at the Culinary and Arts Festival, where world-class flavors meet breathtaking creativity in the heart of the Bahamas. Join us October 22nd through 26th for an unforgettable celebration featuring culinary legends Daniel Boulud, Marcus Samuelson, Dario Cicchini, and Simeon Hall Jr., alongside a vibrant lineup of Bahamian chefs and mixologists. Explore captivating art installations, interactive workshops, and live performances, all set against the stunning backdrop of Nassau's premier luxury resort. And don't miss an electrifying live performance by global superstar Lenny Kravitz, headlining the festival's welcome party on Friday, October 24th, with a concert experience you won't forget. This is more than a festival, it's a feast for the soul. Tickets and packages are going fast. Visit Bahamar.com to reserve your spot at the Culinary and Arts Festival at Bahamar, where taste and talent take center stage. Bahamar. Life spectacular.
Girl, Joe's phone. What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want bullet hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and we'll go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried it the other day, and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call today on the show, please feel free to do so on 323-6232 or 325-4316. You call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. So, couple of other things. I wanted to mention today. So I only address this from the point of view of policy. I used to be the minister responsible for Junkanoo in the Bahamas. In my very first posting as a minister, when I was the minister of state for youth, sports, and culture. And Junkanoo dynamics and Junkanoo politics is very strong, very deep, and very complex. Because it is certainly one of those touch points in the country that can engulf a whole lot of people, either in terms of actual Junkanooers or people who follow, support, sponsor Junkanooers. And so you while you may think it's a light policy issue, this Valley Boys issue is intriguing to me. It is intriguing in so many ways. Intriguing because I find it difficult to understand. How a group can emerge out of a group, assume the bona fides of the original group, and leave the original group in the lurch. So let me see if I could put it like this. Let's suppose the when Cecil Wallace Whitfield and those left the PLP. When they did, they left and they called themselves the Free PLP, right? What happened to the non-free PLP as an organization, as an entity? Nothing, right? It remained the PLP. Eventually, the Free PLP became the Free National Movement, not the Free PLP recognized as the Free PLP, got to keep the PLP name in their title. That wasn't what happened. The original PLP remains to this day the PLP. How does a Valley Boys, an entity, even if not in possession of a legal structure, but with a history and an inertia, all these years, people have been going to the parades, going to the practices of who? The Valley Boys. When they were a premier grouping in the country with Gus Cooper as its leader, it was the same group, same organization. Recognized with the Saxons as the what? Fathers and mothers of Junkanoo. And out of them, a dispute arose within them, questioning their management and their operations. For a group then emerging to become the Valley Boys, what do they call themselves now? This one is the world famous, and one is the... And now the government recognizes that group and says of the old group, you are unrecognized. We will not give you seating. I do not understand the policy of Mr. and who I regard in his post and what I listen to the minister, and the minister says, well, the courts will. The courts? What did the court say? What did the court say exactly? That the Valley Boys, original Valley Boys, can't be the Valley Boys anymore? Can't use the name? Was that what the court said? That the registrar said, well, you can't be registered and use the name. So it's possible in this country for you to co-opt the name of a group because the group didn't register its name. I thought intellectual property, so long as it was put in permanent form, was copyrighted almost automatically, even though the registration becomes a kind of bona fides way of formalizing that. So all of what the Valley Boys stood for and all of what that organization was just obliterated by the emergence from within them of a group. That is possible and conceivable in the Bahamas? Okay. Somebody got to help me with that, man. I'm serious. You got to help me with that. You have a call on the line. Please. Y'all are junkanoos, intelligent junkanoos. I don't know. Help me understand this, please. We have a call on the line.
By the line.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How are you?
You can. I'm good, man. You can straighten me out, help me understand.
Listen to me. Me mm-hmm. and you go to a church. Bad side.
Mm-hmm.
Me and you come in, get in, and a dispute.
Mm-hmm.
The church was never registered, but we collect mm-hmm. an offering and rent, mm-hmm. offering and tithes every Sunday. But the church
yes,
is never
registered. Mm-hmm.
You know the church is never registered. I know the church is never registered. But mm-hmm. I come behind your back that Sunday, we out that Sunday. That Monday morning, mm-hmm. I run to the registry and register the church.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the rightful owner of the church?
Well, that entity that was operating has a standing, maybe, I'm not a lawyer, maybe not in law in terms of registration, but it has a standing.
Yeah, but it
exists.
It's not. You could have a shop for a million years. If you don't have a license for that shop, the government could close you down tomorrow.
But that's different. See, license
no,
is...
No.
License is state permission to operate. The Valley Boys and the Saxons and all them other people,
they
had no state permission to operate. And how does the government give you money if you were unlicensed to operate? Were they not getting money before?
That's a different thing now.
No, you can't. That, you know, that is, in fact, in law, that's a big thing. That's a big thing.
You know, since this Valley Boys thing came up, you know, many junkanoo groups went and registered.
Listen, I understand, you know, I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying, but brother, let me tell you something. There has to be something perverse with the fact that, see, I, Shivago Lang, was minister and he gave Valley Boys money.
Yeah.
And every minister before me gave them money.
Yes.
Same group. Same unregistered group. Gus Cooper, when legendary Gus Cooper led them, it was the same group.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's still the Wally Boys. There's only one Wally Boys.
Yeah, but they ain't get no money, though.
The Wally Boys get the money.
Man, see, you trying... Yeah,
a group
that emerged out of the Wally Boys that went and registered a name in the Wally Boys
the
got money.
That is, the group that was... Was looked at as the Wally Boys. They got the money. Those are the ones.
Yeah, let me explain
something
to you. Let me tell you something. You could explain this to me all you want. There's something perverse about what has happened. Perverse. Something perverse. It is.
Okay.
It is offensive to me what has happened.
Right? The one family, the group that left the Sacks and called themselves One Family.
Yes.
Then the Wally Boys had a split. The group that leave the Wally Boys called themselves Roots.
Yes.
Then Roots had a split. The group that leave the Roots called themselves Colors. They leave the group. There's still one Wally Boys. They just upset. It's still only one Wabi boy.
You are not gonna get my eyes to lie to me. There ain't no one Valley Boys. There's two groups calling themselves Valley Boys.
You know there's a person called Stinking Goatskin. I sure he's gonna call. Once somebody here, they talk. He can be the person to break it down because it's only one Wabi boy. If you are
okay, buddy. Okay, only one Valley Boys, not the world famous Valley Boys, and not the future Valley Boys, the way forward Valley Boys. Where them names coming from? You all ain't get my eyes to lie to me, man. There's two Valley Boys. I have one question. What happened to the Valley Boys that Gus Cooper was the leader of? That's what I want to know. And many of the players that are in that old Valley Boys are the ones I knew and met when Gus Cooper was the leader of the Valley Boys. What happened to that group? Somebody call and explain that to me. This is just our children. This grow up, discard their parents. Show no respect and no regard to their parents. Get embraced by the current. And then say it's okay. And then wonder why our legacies in life get all mashed up and messed up. Because we have no regard and respect for our parents. My God, man. Now, sometimes the parents mess up, that's for sure. But fix that. Right? Something wrong. So to me, something wrong. But I'm open to being corrected. Ah, boy. This text says, the way forward Valley Boys, the original Valley Boys. The name the Valley Boys should have been trademarked by use in Bahamian law, even if not copyrighted. So the argument should have been about who owned the trademark name rather than the legal structure recognized by the government. The callers and others have been arguing about who was registered, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, but I let me ask you a question, though. The government used to be given the money to the trademark. Who was no trademark? Who the money? Who was the government giving them a check in the name of Gus Cooper? It did not. So someone had an account. Some entity had an account that the government wrote a check to. Who was that? And what happened to them? After these people decide, not the hell with y'all, we don't like how you carrying on, so we get a new group now. Well, we got the same group, which is a new group, which is the same group, which is a new group, which is the same group, which is a new group with a trademark named Valley Boys. How that way? I want to know who the government used to write the check to. That's what I'd like to know. Two Valley Boys at least, and both should get money. I'm a Jew. I want to know who the government used to write the check to. Let me ask you a question. See, I know when I was there, we wrote checks, Saxons, Valley Boys, Roots, etc. We didn't write the checks in the name of Ola Francis. We didn't write the checks in the name of the Valley Boys. I want to know who the government used to write the check to, the Valley Boys. That account that the Valley Boys owned was out of bank. It was out of bank. What the bank open the account on the basis of? Somebody tell me. What did the bank do? Say laugh out loud, Mr. Lang. You have a strong argument. I'm seriously open to being corrected, but I don't understand this. I really don't. Minister, you know I love you, right? But I understand it, bro. I ain't gonna lie to you. I don't understand it. I thought at the very least fairness. An examination, if the group qualified, I think fairness said, in the group. He said, but I can't give it to two groups named Valley Boys. Two groups named Valley Boys. Okay. Well, the original Valley Boys, go trademark. No, they tell you can't use the name Valley Boys anymore. Ah, Lord. So you get a government institution that got involved and said you can't do it because you registered another group registered under that name. Right, Lord, I understand. I understand the complication now, buddy. Ah, sugar, I understand it. Boy, this just goes to show you. This goes to show you, brother. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
You're not on the line.
Yes, how you doing?
You on a roll, and you ain't gonna get no pushback.
There no pushback? No
pushback, because the points and the questions that you are asking are very relevant to what would have taken place in terms of that seed money.
Let me ask you a question. I'm right when I say that those checks were written to the Valley Boys, right? So presumably that same Valley Boys has an account at a bank or banks, right? Presumably, right? Okay. So the registrar tells them you can't have the name Valley Boys. They have an account in the name of the Valley Boys. So so how does that work?
Well, I could be straight up with you. When you now look at this development, I was waiting for the seed money to be distributed. You know, I wanted to see exactly this seed money would have cleared up everything, and it did. One can easily conclude, I'm not saying that this is the case, you know, but one that, look, this proposed legislation that they're bringing to regulate John Canoe, this was put in place to eliminate the faction who opposed to this new way forward, John Canoe Group, including the John Canoe Corporation. Including, because when you look at the legislation, the John Canoe, the JNCP, will have very, very involvement in the day-to-day affairs of John Canoe. It shouldn't have happened. It definitely shouldn't have happened.
But, you know, let me tell you something, bro. Let me show you something. So we're talking John Canoe right now, right? We're talking John Canoe. But do you see how you could have an operation in the Bahamas that could get obliterated by somebody co-opting a trade name registered to you and therefore go to a business which has your trade name and end up getting the benefits of that?
Very easily. And this is exactly what would have happened. But if I were the government, I would have stayed out of it. I wouldn't have given anyone any seed money until the court matter has been I'm solved, or if I'm going to give seed money, I want to give it to the two. But the government took side, the Minister of Youth, Sports and Culture took side, and the side involved all of those persons who was a part of this so-called new way forward. Bear in mind now, last year when they rushed as a fund group, you know. They rushed as a fund group. Today, they're rushing as a major group. And they got all of the money. The original Valley Boys got nothing because, according to them, the name was not registered.
They could tell you all one thing. If Zhivago Line was the Minister of Youth, Sports and Culture, both would get money or none would get money.
That's the way to do it. But the
I might as well tell you.
The government
now, I would have been, I would have been, I would have leaned, I would have leaned, I would have leaned on the side of both getting money.
Supposed to work.
You know, if you want the whole money, the one group.
That's what I gotta say,
though. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you calling. I'm glad I ain't there, but I need to tell you guys. Boy, we can take our final break, ladies and gentlemen. Lots of text to read. We'll take our final break. When we come back, we'll read your text. We'll be back after this break.
Everybody, come take my hand.
Reliable and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to name it. We can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Boost your buying power with a margin loan at rates as low as 7.5%. A margin loan offers convenient flexibility, freeing up capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity, or refinance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash within 48 hours for any purpose. Tailored, effortless, powerful. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
In the face of a storm, it's not just buildings that get tested. It's all of us. Insurance isn't just about repair. It's about recovery. So when the winds die down, you're already on the path forward. Having insurance can mean the difference between starting over and starting stronger. So talk to an authorized agent or broker of Bahamas First General Insurance about how the right coverage can support you through this season and whatever comes next. With Bahamas First, you're in safe hands in all seasons.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid. Take a stand, everybody, everybody. Come take my hand, we'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Oh, welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabab Alain, your host. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Yeah, good afternoon. How are you doing, Chicago?
Good, man. How are you?
Right there, all in, man. And good afternoon to the nation. This conversation with the Bali boys, so I was listening to a part of your conversation with the statistics. I have some thoughts on that, but I'm going
to... Yeah, but I don't have a lot of time today, and I do have a lot of texts I want to get to with the Junkanoo part of it.
Fine.
So let's deal with the Junkanoo.
Right.
We could talk about the other thing another time. No problems.
Yeah, the Bali boys, Chicago, is made up of hundreds, perhaps maybe just under 1,500 or 2,000 active participating Junkanoos, right? And many, many of whom on both sides, our roots and allegiance goes back to the leader, God rest his soul, Gus Cooper. And so this is a sad state of affairs for the Bali boys to be pretty much split down the middle, or maybe a 60-40 split, right? And so I'm saying that to say this one point before I say the next thing, Chicago. You have persons who have allegiances and ties and years, decades of dedicated service on both sides of the spectrum, right? However, unlike what the last caller suggested, the government did not take a side. As a matter of fact, government allowed for what the JCNP was stating to go as what they were conduct themselves by, until the court made the decision, right? Which was the JCNP determined that the faction that they support and recognize would be the ones to go on Bay Street and would be the ones to qualify for the seed funding, right? Although that ultimate determination wasn't even theirs to make, right? And the government allowed for the matter to go forward in the Supreme Court. Now, wherever there's a matter that requires adjudication, there's only one body in this country that deals with that. It's not the JCNP. It could be the government, but ultimately, legally, constitutionally, it's the courts. And unfortunately, as you were saying, which I do fully appreciate the weight of what you were saying, in that for all of the existence of the Bali boys have been receiving the seed funding. There hasn't been an issue of the amount trademarking of the incorporation, et cetera, et cetera. But now there is an issue. There's a new grouping within the Bali boys that clearly had a challenge with some of the things that were happening in the Bali boys as it relates to club. And as a result, where you have a grievance within your organization and you two can't come on one accord, the natural progression is to take it up with the court, whether it be at the magistrates or the Supreme Court level, perhaps even the level of the law.
Making that point, Antoine, because I'm watching time going.
And
I really want to read some of these people's
texts. I'll end with this. The courts have made a definitive ruling, and we are all subject to that definitive ruling, no matter how we feel personally, aggrieved or otherwise, until either the appeals court or the Privy Council, if this goes that far, makes a ruling otherwise. That's pretty much.
How many of us read the ruling?
Well, the ruling was placed in the public domain, and I would have read a great portion of it, right? Uh-huh. The minister of youth, sports, and culture would have made his determination and taken his guidance based upon.
But all you have to do, Antoine, is be guided by the court's ruling, so you can do what the court says. But I think that the original, that historical, iconic something deserved something. I'm not saying I know what it is, but deserved something.
I understand that too, Shivago. I'm not disagreeing with you, right?
Yeah, I didn't say you disagree. I'm just saying that's my comment. That's the point I'm making today, that something is amiss to me in respect of that treatment.
To end, ultimately, once the court made their ruling, the government is subject to that. However, the government
The government could do many things, my brother. One thing you would, Alexander, you've taught me is the government's hands are never tied.
That's what I'm saying, Shivago. The government does have within its prerogative the final determination of who they're going to provide and what level of funding they're going to provide. And it's very unfortunate. I'm a Valley Boys supporter my entire life, right? I've been going to Valley Boys, John Canoe practices and
Antoine, one thing. Seriously.
I'll end with this, Shivago. I hope.
No, man, you didn't end twice. I'm good. Let's do. You made great points. Thanks a lot. This says great show as usual, Mr. Lang. Don't raise your blood pressure and cuss over the Valley Boys foolishness, because I sometimes want to cuss over it too. I'm cussing. Their situation don't make no sense. Make it make sense. The great show as usual. That's why this jungle knew everyone rushing with the sting. Okay. They said the government gave the money to the Valley Boys, not the original Valley Boys, not the Way Forward Valley Boys. There are now two new groups with the Valley Boys being abandoned. I think they give it to the Valley Boys, but not the Way Forward, not the Valley Boys they give it to. Well, help me understand that. Say Valley, some situation deeper than that. The original members are on the break off group and they have the majority and they are registered. The Valley Boys never registered. Saxon's been registered. This can never happen to Saxon's. So long you know, Davis Valley Boys getting the money and they, the government, doing that, what they always do, choosing their side, laugh out loud, pushing the Way Forward on the agenda. Well, you can't tell me the original Valley Boys are with the other group, buddy. I know the Valley Boys. I know their original groups too. I know. So some of them might be, but not, as somebody said, some of them are and some of them aren't. So if you get a check, you need and should have a bank account somewhere. Yeah, and I know they do. Say, hello, Mr. Lang. Totally agree with you. Both should have gotten funds. Goes to show the bias and politics up in everything, says that texter. This text says, hi, Shivago. I agree with you entirely, given that the Supreme Court decision in favor of the Way Forward, World Famous appealed it, the ministry should have given it to both. And whatever the decision of the Court of Appeal, that should take effect next year. That's what I would have thought. We have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, who is there on the line?
Right here, man. What's going on?
Everything good. Look, yeah, I won't get too deep into it, but I just won't go as far as knowing your position as one would always deal with fairness. And once you got all the facts, you would work with that and run with that. So concerning this situation concerning the Valley Boys, memory, if you get the full chest of what was taking place within the last 3 years, because this ain't just that happening, right? What happened is they have a chairman on it to do election because according to them, the election would have probably put him behind the back burner. So they never wanted to get to an election. So what the original group, the majority of them, tell him, if you ain't going to do an election, we get in the court. See? The majority
I understand that we don't have time to for you to really talk.
Now what I want to say to you, if you go to court, the court grant you the name Wally Boys.
Yeah.
No other group could go to the government or on Bay Street claiming that there's the Wally Boys. And that other group of fellas, they try it. And the police stop them.
Except what if the court makes a decision and then I contest the decision though?
Okay, you could protest it. But you protesting it, the name still went as the Wally Boy to the original, to the majority of the fellas.
If a matter remains before the court. First of all, let me tell you something, right? Y'all could argue this legally all you want, but the government is the government. The government of Bahamas could do within the context of a contested legal circumstance, the government of the Bahamas could have made a decision to award grant funding to both and not have violated the court ruling. Could have done so.
But if the court did not tell
the government you have to give the Valley Boys this group money and the next group no money. The court never said that.
No. But listen to what the minister said. He said he can't give two groups money.
You telling this former minister that?
No, I tell you what the minister said.
I'm telling you
the government money.
All right, bro. Thank you very much. No problem. you want to stay right there. I had to split that baby right down the middle. Because there ought to be some regard for this group of Ali Boys that was unregistered and with no trademark registered. What was wrong with that? You wouldn't have violated the court's ruling. Huh? Sit down with the Ali Boys, them people, and tell them, listen, man, this year, until your court ruling, call yourself whatever you want to call yourself. But you can deprive that group of the opportunity also to participate in the thing they love? In the name of what? In the name of trademark? Man, please, that's not right. We can do better than that. That's an easy splitting of the baby. Easy. Someone say, I see why you say you don't want campaign. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shafag Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us today. God's best life. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Take care.